A friend's significant other gets a bit too close when saying hello. A fellow airline passenger asks you not to recline your seat even though you're exhausted. Or a relative spends a ton of money on things she can't possibly use and it's just driving you crazy. These dilemmas may leave you asking, now what do I do? That's the name of the ethics column in O, the Oprah magazine, and it's time for our regular conversation about the everyday ethical questions raised by the column's readers. Back with us now is Jancy Dunn. She edits the Now What Do I Do column for O. Also with us is Faith Saley. She's a member of the O Ethics panel, and she also hosts her own public radio program, Fair Game. Welcome back, ladies.
Thank you.
Hi, thank you.
Well, Jancy, let's start with you. The first conflict the column takes on is pretty touchy. One woman says her friend's husband insists on greeting her with a kiss on the lips.
Yes, everyone has one of those friends' husbands, right?
I guess. So what did the panel have to say about this?
They were in agreement. They all pretty much said that you have to do what you have to do to avoid it. One panelist, Jack Marshall, says that it's a cheap assault. And Rudy Rasmus, another panelist, said that if you don't say anything, you're validating this kind of inappropriate behavior. So they all advise to say something. If not, turn your head in an obvious way. Or as Anita Allen said, start wearing bright lipstick, which I liked.
Well, I was wondering, did it matter what kind of kiss it was? Is this a little peck that we're talking about?
This is Faith. The description here is a big wet kiss.
Moisture involved.
Little bit of that.
If there's moisture.
And Cheryl, I think it also matters what he looks like, don't you?
You mean if he's fine, it's okay.
Yes, I do.
Well, I'm not sure about that. Well, Faith, you had a clever way around this. Tell us your strategy.
Well, I'm a big hugger, which I know in this day and age of air kisses and European three kisses on five cheeks is very lowbrow. But I feel like hugging is, you know, the great connector. So I said, you know, just breeze right past his lips, you know, with determination and give him a hug. Or you can tell him that, you know, you don't want to get too close, I'm sick. And I said that's not a lie because you're really sick of his big, wet, sloppy kisses.
So a nice cough might do the trick.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a sniff, too.
Now, what about the question from a person who's disturbed by a sister who spends a lot of money on purses, money that the writer says could be going to a worthy cause? Jancy, how did the panel respond to that one?
You know, it's interesting. They all said, mind your business, that everyone collects things, don't impose your values on her. And Rudy and Rush, two of our panelists, suggested to lead by example and just sort of talk up charities that you like, but leave it at that.
Okay, let her collect and spend her money on what she wants to spend it on.
Maybe ask to borrow the purses.
If they're really cute. I think you guys are big on appearances today, how things look. All right. Faith, in your response to this spendthrift question, you confessed to buying more mascara than you can possibly use. And I was wondering if you ever had a friend call you out on wasting your cash, maybe not on mascara, but on something else.
Oh, Cheryl, this really is a theme about appearance today. Yes, I confess I am from the South, so there's money no better spent than on thick lashes. But, you know, I have to say, I'm pretty responsible with my spending, and the only thing I'd be embarrassed about is if people saw how much money I spent on chocolate, and I'm very covert about that. So, no, I've never had a friend call me out on that.
All right, Faith, how much money do you actually spend on chocolate?
Oh, my God, I wouldn't even tally it up. I'm Catholic. I would feel too guilty. I don't know. I do give it up for Lent, so I assume that saves about $2,000 every, you know, 40 days a year.
Okay.
But this question to me sniffs of the armchair therapist speaking. It sounds like this woman's jealous of the fact that it's very judgmental. It's very self-righteous of the fact that her sister spends money on these handbags.
But Jancy here, I do like your suggestion that for the sister's next birthday, donate to the Heifer Project or a dress for success in her honor. I thought that was a great idea.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, Jancy, there's a question in this month's column about civility on airplanes. And I think we've all been stressed out at some point about the person whose kid is kicking the back of our seat or someone who really wants to talk when all you really want to do is sleep. But tell us about this conflict and what the panel had to say about it.
We get a lot of letters about behavior on airplanes, which seems to bring out the worst in people, as you said. And this one was a person who was on a full airplane flight, put their seat back to get some sleep, and the guy behind him or her was 6'5" and said, "Look, can you keep the seat up?" Mm. And they were exhausted and didn't want to. And everyone gave different answers about whether this person did the right thing. Rush Kidder said that technically he was right, but you could have explained why to the guy, which is the civil thing to do. And Jack Marshall, one of our panelists, mm-hmm. had a golden rule, which is don't crush people if they're over 6 feet tall, which I think are good words to live by. And Rush had also explained that a good thing to do would be to offer to change seats with the guy or even get the flight attendant to move you around like chess pieces. Mm-hmm. Finally, Anita Allen, another panelist, opted for middle ground and said, just put your seat back a little bit, you know, split the difference.
Okay. Faith, what about you? Is there a nice way to tell seatmates on a plane you're going to recline your seat even if it bothers them?
Oh, dear, Cheryl. I was the dissenter. I don't know if I'm evolved as the rest of the group. I just do think that airplane travel is so hellacious that nobody has the right to ask you to curb your own comfort. And, you know, life has a way of evening out these perceived injustices. And studies show that people over 6 feet tall make more money and are considered more attractive. So, you know what? Tough luck, dude.
Well, you know, with all the costs that are coming up now on airplanes, maybe you could say, well, you know, if you want me to put my seat up, it's going to cost you a few dollars.
I like that. Like $15 for a second bag? Yeah. Pay me $20. I'll stay up. Right.
All right. Well, Faith Saley is a member of the ethics panel for O, the Oprah magazine. And Jancy Dunn writes the magazine's ethics column, Now What Do I Do? They both joined us from NPR's New York Bureau. Thank you both.
Thanks, Cheryl. I'm giving you a big wet kiss on the lips.
Oh, God.
I'm right behind her.
Big hug to you.